Welcome to a Christmas and New Year's edition of the Sea Control Podcast, your moment of PowerPoint rehab from the Center for International Maritime Security. I am, as always, President of SIMSEC and your semi-helpful host, Matthew Hipple, and I bring you this week, for the next 2 weeks, a delightfully meandering conversation between your three hosts, Natalie Samby, Alex Clark, and of course, myself. Matthew Marighi is absent without leave. He is watching, like the rest of the planet, apparently, Star Wars, because we're recording this on opening weekend, since most of us will probably be busy in food comas or, in my case, changing diapers on the weekend that this will come out. But we hope you sit back, relax, and enjoy the podcast, and enjoy this short word from my wife, who is now a mommy.
SIMSEC brings you the best content on maritime security, technology, history, and international affairs. And, like the United States, SIMSEC is, and always will be, free. Sign up to become a member today by visiting www.cimsec.org/about/membership, which gets you daily emails of our articles and a WordPress account that sends your own writings directly to our editorial staff. However, admin, special projects, software, events, and prizes do cost money. There's a new option to make a voluntary monthly donation at the bottom of every SIMSEC article. No matter how you choose to support us, those who volunteer for leadership, our amazing content producers, our readers, our listeners, our conference planners and attendees, and our financial benefactors, we are incredibly grateful. Remember, Sea Control is more than just a podcast, and SIMSEC is more than just a website. We are a vibrant community built on a passion for discovery and discussion. Sign up, write, donate, comment, or even leave 5 stars on our iTunes page. Join us today.
I can't get over the fact how much Alex right now looks like a villain from, let's see, it's either Punisher or maybe Daredevil. You know, I know a few people are watching that. But you've got that sort of Russian drug dealing club owner thing going on right now.
Thank you,
especially the way
I'm very happy to hear of that description. I spend a lot of time cultivating my Russian contacts.
Stop, please. That
accent
is so bad.
I'm
surprised Putin doesn't pop out of closet and murder you right now for that accent. It is so bad.
I have to take a screenshot.
That's the cover photo for this thing. It's the Christmas podcast, and it's just him in his weird trippy dippy background. Is that a mirror next to him? Oh god,
it's a mirror.
Oh wow, it is a sex dungeon.
That is a mirror.
Oh wow, this is so preposterous. All right, so what is everyone's Christmas plan?
Currently, I'm in Notting, Surrey.
Surrey? Did you say you're not in Surrey or Notting, Surrey? Because I'm not sure with the weird names.
I'm on the coast.
West, south, north, Chesterfield, upon the Downs, moors.
I'm in the southwest of the country.
You're in the north southwest of the east of the country, upon
southwest.
Downs, upon the moors.
Actually, I do live on the Downs in Surrey.
We did a Model UN conference back when I was in college. And since the committee couldn't totally match Parliament, we took a bunch of the rotten boroughs and we combined them into new places, like East West Manchester upon the moors. People just went with it.
We did to our country.
We would just invent.
We don't have rotten boroughs anymore.
And then we would add to their.
To be fair, we do have boroughs where, frankly, someone who, if they're standing for the right party, could not have a pulse and they'd still get elected, probably. But we do not have rotten boroughs anymore.
We would add to these imaginary boroughs, and we gave them a bunch of policy sheets to mess the entire conference up so that no matter what came up, their primary concern was things like endangered badgers or that trash wasn't being collected on Wednesday and it was piling up in the streets or
do you realize that's all local council stuff? That is actually what I deal with as an elected official. I deal with bins.
And badges.
Bins and planning. Badges, not usually. They're not much of a problem in my part, sorry.
They had a debate on whether or not they would go to war with Zimbabwe, and it kept on getting interrupted by people who wanted to talk about pet cemeteries being used as rubbish dumps.
Don't joke about that, Matthew. I had a whole meeting on that the other day. Not seriously, actually, I didn't.
I'm sorry.
Oh my god. How did we get to this?
Well, currently, the big debate I have at the moment on is protecting a social and community center from being closed.
Oh, so where's Mr. T and his gang of, like, scrappy friends? Isn't that how it always works?
Pretty much, but hey-ho, we're trying our best. We've got 1,500... We're aiming to get at least 1,500 signatures.
Is there a charismatic local gym teacher who has suddenly found his beat and is now getting everyone behind him for keeping the community center open?
No, I have a retired HR manager from British Airways, who's their county councillor, Grand Passand, fighting for it.
Yeah, it's not movie material, sorry.
No, sorry. Yeah, this is reality of life. But we're having a big family get-together.
No one's going to steal your life. It's okay.
No one's really interested in what you have to steal, Alex. I don't know how to tell you this. They don't want your dog, your lame French poodle. They don't want your weird LSD lights.
You'd be rude about Mozart, and you'll get into severe trouble, my friend. Mozart is a king of a dog.
So when you say...
Never be rude about the dog that protects Rudolph.
When you say he's a king of a dog, you're saying he's inbred and syphilitic. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying he exercises his droit de seigneur with
That's
freedom.
That's great.
You mean to get around?
Anyways, okay, so Alex, you've got a giant family get-together going on. Natalie, what are you doing for Christmas? Coming to visit baby Matt?
Well, absolutely, I'm going to come and do that. But before I do that, since I'm thousands and thousands of miles away from the sunny, summery shores of Australia on this freezing continent, I will be attending Christmas at one of my CNAS colleagues' house, which will be lovely. So I'll have my first white Christmas in quite a while.
So we have, since obviously there's a new member of the family, I have all the in-laws in town and the laws. I get outlaws. I guess, yeah, what would be your own family? So you have in-laws and then outlaws. My family, that makes sense, outlaws. And they're all in town.
I think usually you just call them relatives, but okay.
So, because there's so many people, we're going to go do an Airbnb thing, and then we're going to have a big Christmas dinner there in a place that can actually fit everybody and won't kick us out when a newborn child decides that it's really not about Christmas dinner and starts whining nonstop. So we have the added benefit of not ruining dinner for, like, 30 or 40 other people.
There is a newborn child there. It's not going to be about Christmas dinner. It's going to be about
newborn child.
No, that's
true, but we don't...
Well, I believe the actual original Christmas theme is about...
Newborn child, yeah, vaguely.
Yeah. And it's what's really going to be interesting is when an auntie has baby Matthew's cheek and Matthew's cheek, I won't say which one's the baby, and is squeaking both at the same time, going, "Ooh, aren't you cute and like your
parents?" Well, I'm sure, little Maddie is very, very cute, so I'm sure he will be getting all of the attention. And he is a very good baby, so he has not learned to gripe as much as his father has yet. But he will learn with time as he gets more exposure to the world. I will teach him the dark ways, and he will soon become as cynical and angry as I am. But, you know, that's...
So he'll be a perfect naval officer then.
Exactly. Yeah. And hopefully, what is the Jeremy Corbyn plan for Christmas, by the way?
I'm not sure if he celebrates Christmas. I really don't know, and I haven't inquired. I find him a very interesting individual who I will not criticize too much because I feel that he's jumping on a bandwagon of enough people are criticizing him. I know he's an earnest man. I don't agree with any of his views and think he's possibly taken far too many hallucinogenic drugs in his life, But leaving that to one side, he's earnest in his beliefs, and I will let him believe them, no matter how wrong they are, because that is part of being free.
I heard in a press conference that he was complaining about the amount of noise being made down in Whoville, and then he planned to do something about it. Nobody reference Whoville?
No, I'm not sure.
Grinch Stole Christmas. You guys are.
Yes, there are so many.
So, Natalie, how are you? What's going on in your life? Since we're spending all this time whining
about... Since we're whining about politics and things like that, well, everything over here is just dandy. We've got a new prime minister in power, like I talked about before, who seems to be going well. Nothing is broken, which is good. And seems to be building good relations with the Asia Pacific, ticking that box. But generally speaking, life is pretty good. I'm back in D.C., hanging out with my CNAS crew again for
That's
another
fun.
Month.
That's
so,
fun.
No complaints there. And like I said earlier, enjoying a wintry Christmas for a change. So, as normal, we Aussies hang out at the beach or we have a barbecue for Christmas. It's usually 30 degrees. What is that ever in Fahrenheit? We don't use your funny counting system.
Maybe
and 60? We usually...
70 degrees?
No, more than that. No, up in the late 90s.
Oh, wow.
Well, not almost. Yeah. It gets pretty hot in summer in Australia. So it's a bit of a culture shock coming over here, and it's freezing my fingers off.
I like that pause.
Trying to get
you're like freezing
that.
My thinking of appropriate body part. Fingers. We'll go with fingers.
I'm a writer, okay? I'm a hands person.
Oh, well. That's at least I have my hatred of Donald Trump to keep me warm over here through the cold winter months. You know that he came out and he announced, well, two things. So Hugh Hewitt, during the debate, asked him a question about the nuclear triad. So several months ago, there was an interview with Hugh Hewitt asking about the cost of the nuclear triad, if there was something that he thought we should pull back on, sort of sensible question about the cost of nuclear weapons that a president should have some thoughts on, even if generic thoughts, on talking about the advantages or disadvantages of having the full triad. Spends the entire time talking about how powerful nuclear weapons are. Okay, concerning here. Doesn't seem to know what the nuclear triad is. Every single interview Hugh Hewitt has been in, he has asked him the same question. And at no point in time has he ever appeared to look up the answer. Until this latest debate, when everyone noticed he didn't know the answer, and then his spokesperson went on Fox, I think, and said, what's the point in having probably just Wikipedia'd what a nuclear triad was? Says, well, what's the point in having a nuclear triad if you're not going to use it? And the other person on the show, there was just this look of horror, this open, gaped mouth. Like, that was a thing that came out of someone's mouth. Go ahead, Al.
To be fair, we have that debate in the UK, and I have
you
to
had
say,
the, why aren't
America,
we nuking
I'd
people
at
debate?
The bomb. I'd be looking at the... Yes, we had the debate, which has come with Jeremy Corbyn, actually, has brought that debate up, and it actually brought the thing of, you
it's
do not have nuclear... It actually forced the Chief of the Defence Staff to come on television and go, you do not have the nuclear weapons to use as a weapon, but use them every single day as a deterrent to other people using them. And the Chief of Defence Staff actually had to come on, and then Jeremy Corbyn said... something along the lines of, started all this investigation saying there should be investigation because the Chief of Defence Staff should not speak and criticise the Leader of the Opposition for what he's saying. It's nuclear policy.
It's
our
not policy, it's
men,
theory, it's nuclear defence
It's the
theory.
Chief of Defence policy. You know, you call these people in, that's why you have them. And I have to say, I've been looking at a lot of the stuff around the nuclear triad, and I really am wondering... why the long-range strike bomber is being nuclear. Actually, I support it, because frankly, if you're going to be fighting in Pacific, goodbye F-35s and F-22s, they're never going to have the range to be able to do anything without humongous tanker support, or the carriers taking them close. But the bomber is about the only way that the US Air Force is actually going to be able to get into the fight until the Americans land at
so,
it.
So, being a guy who's obviously biased towards the Navy, I get the question because part of me wonders, all right, I have an ICBM that can fly through space and hit anywhere on the planet. Awesome. I have those, but they're in stationary stationary silos that can be struck or attacked from the ground. Who knows? You know, give them
anything that can be found on Google
right,
Earth.
Exactly.
Can hit.
So there's a lot of implausible scenarios, but that doesn't mean impossible scenarios. So, you know, given that, I understand, okay, why I have an SSBN. I can put it anywhere in the planet, no one knows where it is, and then I can unleash whatever I want from that. That's a great deterrent, but it's really expensive to cycle forward, and you can't put nuclear weapons up in numbers. I don't, and I, maybe people will go crazy when I say this, if they listen to this, get to this point at all. The nuclear bombers seem rather redundant. I get the idea for a long-range strike bomber, a conventional one. I understand that.
Yes.
The need for long-range strike when it comes to nuclear weapons seems redundant. I mean, is it an issue of wanting to be able to use nuclear weapons with less warning because you're using a conventional bomber instead of launching something into space that a lot of people will detect? In which case, if your defense policy is that nuclear weapons will only be used in a defensive manner, I might question the utility of having a long-range nuclear bomber. I mean, if I can have one, why not? You know, if I'm going to have a long-range strike bomber and make it nuclear capable, okay, understood, but
I'm questioning why it's even nuclear capable. Why does it we have to make a song dance about it being nuclear capable? Seeing as what you're probably going to be doing is using nuclear warheads attached to cruise missiles fired from the bomber in the nicest possible way. If the bomber can already take those cruise missiles and fire them, why does it have to be called nuclear capable?
No, that's a good point.
Why does it, you just have the warheads sitting there.
That's
you know,
a
deeper...
You're
just making it part of the trial.
I don't know. Natalie, thoughts on nuclear weapons for Christmastide?
You guys are playing outside of my playground, so I'm sitting here just taking it all in, wondering where we're going to get to women in combat.
Jeez, and you completely derailed me. There was a thought about nuclear weapons that I had, and you took that away from me.
I would just before we get to women in combat, and I do want to get on that because I'm supportive of it because I don't see the point because they're already there. But leaving that to one side, the U.S. Air Force is currently about to spend a huge amount of money upgrading the B-61-12 nuclear gravity bombs. Does anyone think anyone's really going to be using a gravity drop nuclear weapon?
Look, man, YOLO. Alright, YOLO.
We are building all these cruise missiles, we are building stealth aircraft to evade air defenses, and yet still you're saying, what we want to do this aircraft to do is to fly directly over the target and drop a bomb.
If someone has hit me with an EMP, but I have functioning 50-year-old bombers, and I want to go get that person, I'm going to want a gravity drop bomb, because all of my GPS-guided
bombs... Basically, you're sending B-52s.
What's that?
B-52s
exactly,
drop bombs,
or maybe we'll get some C-17s and just roll them out the back. Again, YOLO.
Now that sounds like you're copying Avatar, and that was a terrible
everyone,
battle plan.
If you...
That was an atrocious battle
And I'm glad you brought that up, if anyone has the chance. I think 2 weeks ago, it's a rant from me on how the battle on Pandora should have gone down, and humanity should have won. Anyways, but let's go, Natalie, women in combat.
Well, I was actually going to handball that straight to Alex, since what's come on the news recently is that the UK has now lifted the ban on women in ground combat roles. I was going to ask Alex, was there anything in particular that prompted that, or did that just sort of come after the Pentagon's decision to do the same?
The British have been slowly working around it on themselves. We've been slowly working through doing our own evaluations, but honestly, you've got things like a Navy medic, a Royal Navy medic, got a very high award for her services in combat in Afghanistan. We've had women getting involved in the fight for ages. We don't have large enough forces that we honestly can say anymore, you are going to be out of the fight and not in combat roles. So they're getting into the combat fight whether we like it or not. So saying they can't. The thing that's going to come through is whether or not the standards are going to be changed and whether or not they're going to get in the Royal Marines. There might be similar issues as with the US Marines, but I think the Royal Marines will probably just go down the route of, if they can pass the fitness test, they're in. If they can't, they're not. We're just going to be gender blind on that one. You just have to pass those tests.
In addition to the Royal Marines, is there any sense that they'll be allowed into the SAS if they pass selection?
I've heard they might already be there, but we'll leave that one to one side.
There was an article rolling around not that long ago about a sort of rather petite female soldier that had worked with the SAS, but I wasn't sure whether or not they'd been integrated.
I'm not sure if they've been integrated, but I know there's been ones wandering around and working. I've heard of definitely ones working very closely with them. And again, it's...
That's quite a good question.
Yes, one of the things I would point out, and one of the things that the Royal Marines often tell me, is some of their best pilots in the Commando Helicopter Force that deliver them into combat, and the ones they rely on most of all in when they're doing their operations, are girls. I've flown with a very... the first helicopter flight I went to was in with 848 Squadron, which was the training helicopter force squadron for the Sea Kings when they were in the commando role. And it was two female pilots. And they were excellent, and we were literally skimming along half a meter above the ground. And I know they've deployed many times, and I know they are very, very experienced. And frankly, again, as I said, the British forces aren't as big as they used to be. This is not World War II levels. We have an army which is less than 90,000. We have we might be increasing the Marines, the Navy a bit, and the Air Force a bit, and maybe the Marines will get a few more. But it's not big enough that we can start going, okay, we can keep you back from combat. They've already been going into combat. So we have to basically go, right then, if you want to serve and you can make the grade, you can go. And we're going to have to deal with it. There are going to be problems which are going to come up, you know. How the public is going to react to the first female soldier caught, captured in battle, I don't know. No one knows. And we've lost no one.
Well, you know what? Here's something. I'm sort of with you with this one. It's like anybody who can qualify does the job, because the qualifications are there to decide whether or not you can do the job. I guess the question in the United States that people are asking now, as if we were going to have a draft again, which we won't have, but sort of a symbolic thing, is will the draft now include women? Which I think then the question is naturally asked.
Hey guys, sorry, I just that, so I obviously missed the conversation. So I jump in.
Alex had just finished up, and I was saying that I kind of agreed with the whoever qualifies can do it, because the qualifications are there for a reason. But the question in the United States is more that hot potato of the draft. Highly unlikely that we would have another draft, but still people are uncomfortable with the idea of women being added to the draft. And I don't think for bad reasons. It's good that people don't necessarily want to put other people into an involuntary position to fight in a war. But still, if the standards are same across the board, then naturally the policy should be the same across the board and everything. But that's up to, you know, Congress. And a lot of people get into these arguments like, oh, why hasn't the draft policy changed yet? But the Pentagon policy about women in combat is separate from the congressional policy on whether or not women are part of the draft. So they're really two different, they're questions for different political entities.
And I think there are some lessons from history and even from current time which are quite applicable. You know, in World War II, Britain, of course, didn't have draft women, but they joined up in huge numbers. There was a de facto draft in many ways, and if you look at the land army and various other things, women were employed heavily, and they were manning AA batteries in London, all sorts of things. But also, take a look at Russia. They have basically but a draft for both genders. They have huge numbers of women in their forces. Same with Israel. You know, in many ways, Western forces are slightly behind the times in dealing with this as a reality. And there are skills that women can bring that they have more affinity to than men do. You know,
that really goes for anybody.
Skills, especially when it comes to it goes for everyone. And Natalie's gone again.
Uh-oh.
I think you need to...
Hey, my Skype keeps crashing.
I have Natalie back now.
Okay, for some reason, my thing is now confused, and I can no longer see you. Well, this is terribly... So what does everybody want most for Christmas? Let's get back on the beaten path here. Alex, what's your wish for Christmas?
I'd like to finish the paper on tribal class destroyers I'm writing.
Oh my god. You're so boring. This is why you're sitting alone in a house with a bunch of disco lights.
I just like not to
be
given socks or prison. This is cool, and I don't sleep alone.
Well, okay, your dog doesn't count.
I have a standard...
Let's not go there.
Stop being cruel about my dog. He sleeps on top of the bed.
All right.
And occasionally I have enough space to actually get in the inside the bed.
Natalie?
Well, since I'm in DC, the inner nerd in me wants a big fat book voucher for all of the scrummy bookstores there are around here. The traveler in me wants to go back to Paris, and the think tank Thug Life proponent in me wants a spontaneous concert of the Wu-Tang Clan, all surviving members of the Wu-Tang Clan, back together again in DC. But hey, you know.
Well, what happens if, to go on the community center theme and a scrappy young group of kids keeping it open, what would you all say to a scrappy young group of Ocean's 11 types, and we go get that Wu-Tang album from the pharmaceutical executive who just got arrested? No? Nobody?
I don't know. Seriously, you want to go and beat someone up?
No,
with
I
drugs?
No.
Why am I taking
no,
from
I,
this? Is this an example you should be setting your newborn child?
I said I want to come up with an elaborate heist to steal the only copy of a Wu-Tang album that exists from a guy who just got arrested for traitor fraud. I didn't say I want to go. I didn't say I want to go kneecap a drug dealer. Good lord.
I thought we were plotting the script for some sort of like film for these kids to go from tragedy to triumph and being able to secure their community center, and they end up doing a cover of this Wu-Tang album, and it goes.
That's cool. So they
that would be a story. And then the real Wu-Tang Clan comes out, like. Opens it and it's like, hey kids, you guys are the best, you know.
I like that idea. I get the more wholesome version where they do a cover and then Wu-Tang comes, but I prefer the version where they steal it and then they sell it and use the money to save the community center. I think that would be a lot more sort of rip-roaring.
Those violent.
Exactly.
Yeah, Yeah, the community center one is going to be an issue. It's going to be something which is going to run and run. And I'm honestly not sure why they're closing it.
Make suggestions for your community center. Let's do that, Matt. How about we have suggestions for Alex's community center in the comment section?
Do we have a comment section?
Oh, that'd be good.
I guess we do have a comment section.
We do have a comment section, yes.
We can have people write in.
I get the comments all the time on the Falklands one.
That's true.
It's quite excellent. It's also serving as a recruitment for future people to be on the podcast.
Excellent.
The Falklands one.
So for my Christmas gift here, I have...
Well, you had an early Christmas.
You've got your Christmas gift.
What, someone who's going to take Christmas gifts from me? I don't think that counts.
Yes, and give you a lot of joy. And you've also given him your name.
That is true. I did give him...
You know, that you're making yourself immortal now. That's what you're attempting.
Matt was first on that.
Yeah, you know what? Matthew is not a new... It is not a new name by any stretch, but I...
Just going to check. Is your father's name Matthew?
No. And his father is not named Matthew either, so... But good try.
So you're trying to start the dynasty yourself?
I mean, why not?
So it'll be Matthew America Hickle III before long.
I don't see there being any problem with that. Seems like a delightful outcome. But I
isn't John McCain the third?
No, his son is Jack McCain. He's in the Navy. They're all in the Navy. His dad's in the Navy. He's a senator, but was in the Navy, and his son is in the Navy too. Yeah. Mm. So maybe that's the dynasty I start. Is that my kids all decide to join the Navy and like their dad.
And the Wu-Tang,
and the Wu-Tang
Clan.
Wu-Tang
Come on.
Clan. Yeah, okay, cool. If I could get the Wu-Tang Clan album, that would be awesome. Or maybe a katana signed by all the surviving members of the Wu-Tang Clan. That'd be pretty badass.
Fabulous.
In fact, that's okay, there we go. If I want a new laptop, why don't I just wish for a katana signed by all surviving members of the Wu-Tang Clan, which I can then sell and get a laptop factory. So
That's the plan for saving the community, you realize.
Yeah, but it's my sword now, so the kids will have to hatch a plot to steal it from me. It's not my community center. I have a community center, and it's quite all right.
Well, we'll see if Alex is going to pinch that idea or not. I don't know where he's gone. He's just gone off.
Alex is just wandering somewhere. Alex was going to get a book.
I'm going to have a hell of a time.
Listening to all this Wu-Tang-ness was just, no.
He's gone to get a dictionary.
Hey, yeah, you're not going to find it in the dictionary.
I wasn't getting a dictionary.
It's not Chinese.
Chintao.
Oh, man, I remember when the Wu-Tang Clan was in the Flintstones movie. I don't know how they survived that to be still considered cool. That was such a bad movie.
I had ejected that.
Yeah, well, Wu-Tang Clan was in the Flintstones movie. That was a real thing.
Please stop saying that.
That's worrying.
Oh, well. So I think that we have squeezed everything we can out of this conversation. I will have to edit the living hell out of it.
I don't know.
Really? Well, what do you...
We've got more to go. I think there's more we can cover. I think there's a few bits more. So what's projects for New Year? What are our plans?
Well, okay, that's totally fair. Yes, good point. Well, I'll start the show here. So obviously my plan is to start taking care of a child. So hence the absent host, Matt Marighi, will be taking over more of this podcast and to help Brett Perry, now that kind of he's on his feet, start running himself with the real-time strategy podcast, which has been a delight, with a surprise bonus of we've snagged August Cole, co-author of the Ghost Fleet, as one of our hosts for real-time strategy, and he's a blast. Yeah, he has...
I'm still waiting for being allowed to on real-time strategy. I'm wondering if I'm being kept
trust me, you will be kept in the loop.
Am I just too loud?
You're not too loud.
Too charismatic?
You're not getting the email.
We haven't We haven't covered chess yet, so we know that the stuff we play is a little high, sort of highfalutin for you. So we don't want to have you hemming and hawing about the young kids these days and their moving digital pictures. So we'll save your presence for something slightly more classic. You know, like maybe Chinese checkers or...
Galactic Civilizations, Stronghold, Total War.
Okay, Total War. We'll bring you on for Total War. We already did Red Alert. Sorry, buddy.
That's probably good. I would have spent most of my time panning quite a few of the systems in it. The Prism Tank was way, way too much of a game.
You realize these are all fictional. Yeah, probably for the best we don't have someone griping about how everything is OP all the time. Although that has come up. Good lord. Yeah, hey, I'm sorry, normal C Control listeners. So instead of me and Alex starting to gripe about video games here, I'm going to turn it over to Natalie. So, Natalie, what are you looking forward to in the new year?
It's going to be interesting. So we're finally going to get our 2016 Defense White Paper, which was meant to be the 2015. So we'll probably spend a bit of time next year talking about what we think will be in it, and then obviously when it's released, we'll be talking about what it said and what it didn't said. That's for sure. We'll probably do a couple of breakdowns in terms of the force structure that it talks about and some of the relationships in the region that it discusses, but more importantly, the big picture, strategic outline. And I'd like to see actually what kind of emphasis that it has on countries, big countries in the region that shall not be named. but apart from that, I'm going to look at more collaborative stuff with other groups and other podcasts, so I'll leave that as a bit of a mystery for now, and I'm going to start harvesting people's recommendations for their choice of scotch and whiskey as well to spice things up.
Well, my recommendation is to ditch all of that and just go for tequila, but that's because I'm married into it.
I'm also wondering why you're being so secret about Brunei. I'm sure everyone realizes that's what Australia's going to be worried about.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Brunei. It's going to be Brunei, let's be honest.
I'm pretty sure that if there was a multilateral conference today, the one thing that everyone could agree with, China, the Philippines, Vietnam, Indonesia, Japan, is just Brunei go to hell with their stupid little weird box territorial claim that they suddenly just decided that they had. Everyone else has this sort of like vaguely, you can kind of see what they're going for. The Chinese is at pretty ridiculous, but you're like, okay, I kind of get the narrative you're going for here. And Brunei is just like, no, this box, I just drew a box really far out into the ocean, and it's mine. So everybody go to hell. And you're like, no, get out of here. You guys are ridiculous. No one's going to give you that.
And my betting is Brunei will get it.
Okay, well.
Right.
They're fairly well off. And their military is small but fairly efficient.
At what?
And let's be honest.
I don't think that's how it's going to work. Think...
Do you have a
girlfriend in Brunei that you haven't told us about that you're doing this for, or like, what is the deal here?
The Brunei. Like,
this is weird.
Spend most of their time having former British armed forces over there, so they're fairly secure.
Well,
in fact, the British Army trains there.
I'm sort of skeptical about whether I should turn this over to Alex from Natalie after that weird diatribe about Brunei, but go ahead. What are you looking at in the new year, Alex?
Oh, well, we've got two more Falklands podcasts already arranged and going to be recorded. I've got another four people who I'm trying to organize, so the Falklands series is going to continue. I'm working on a couple of post-SDSR podcasts to try, now that we've finally got it figured out what exactly they are talking about, because the one thing about SDSR 2015, I would say, is that there's been a lot more stuff even than the pre-SDSR 2010, which has been in footnotes and follow-ups. And it's amazing how much information is coming out, and we've got huge variants of views in some respects. And, of course, we always have the fun of the impending referendum on our European Union membership, which is going to be a fun party because both sides are going completely for the extremes of it's going to be perfect and everything's going to be manna, or it's going to be terrible, and no one's prepared to actually debate the reality, which is going to be somewhere in the middle. But we'll leave that one to one side. And that will probably get me into trouble with so many of my colleagues who are on both sides of the debate.
Can't you get both sides of the debate in the Yes Prime Minister, the Yes Prime Minister thing, which is you can both hate the EU and be in the EU because you realize that you can't destroy the EU unless you're inside of it.
Yes, we've come up with a new method of destroying the EU. There are two. We either keep them constantly debating over the various issues we want to debate over until everyone gets pissed off of us and chucks us out, or we exit the EU and then they realize that they've only had two countries who were actually paying money into it instead of taking out money out of it, which was Britain and Germany, and Germany now can't foot the bill
alone.
That
when countries
so
just
at
sell
which
them.
Point they have a sudden problem.
And then Germany is officially given control of the European continent.
Yes, which would be bad for Britain, because our whole foreign policy for the last about 400 years has been we will stop any sole European power coming to power and taking hold of the control of the whole of Europe. And it's been a very effective foreign policy, because we know if we ended up with a European China, we'd be screwed.
Well, I think now is a good time to sew this up. I will do my best, listeners. I hope if you've reached this point that my editing job has turned this meandering and delightful discussion amongst three people into a workable media product. And I hope all...
I think the lights behind me have had a bad effect on the conversation.
Oh, now, see, look, you keep talking about those lights, and I keep losing my train of thought. Wow, no, that's a real thing that just happened.
Never again.
Anyways, we hope all of you had a very Merry Christmas and that you have a delightful New Year coming up. And, of course, Happy Hanukkah to all of our Jewish...
Is the rock and roll music which keeps coming on just something I'm hearing?
Yes, something
or is it
you're
something
hearing.
That's
I am
to
not
up.
Playing anything. Although, when you listen to this podcast, hopefully there will be a nice fire kind of going on in the background so that it's, you know, Christmas style. I'll find one of those looped fireplace things. This whole Christmas podcast is going to be such a delightful disaster. And mind you, I'll be editing all this with a very tiny person that I'm trying to get used to taking care of. So my level of attention will obviously be slightly lower.
Just as long as you take out anything which will get either of us killed.
No, I'll leave anything that'll get you killed in it. Now I'll take out all the stuff that'll get me killed. I mean, I'm sorry that on a constant basis we have to inundate and expose Natalie to this. You're a normal person, Natalie. I apologize.
I'm fine.
Well, anyways, as I said before, I hope everyone had a lovely holiday and a lovely holidays as they continue here into the new year. This has been some sort of Sea Control podcast. Brought to you by the Center for International Maritime Security. I'm Matthew Hippel. I was here with Natalie Samby and Alexander Douglas Clark for our Christmas and New Year podcast. So you probably won't hear from us next week because we will be on a slight vacation. But you wouldn't know that because if you're a sane person, you've probably stopped listening to us already as it is. So, Natalie, Alex?
In my defense, I have drunk about 4 liters of Iron Brew today.
Delightful. Natalie, Alex, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Matthew. Congrats again. Take care, Alex.
Congrats, Matthew. Thank you, Natalie. Take care.